The reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 35 and then verse 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread of heaven, bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, may you open our hearts and our minds. May you speak to us this morning. And may we be blessed by your word. Amen. Well, I love bread. I love it wholemeal, seedy, I like croissant, and I like brioche. Gluten-free, I'm not so keen on, but I accept that some people are that way. That's fine. The trouble is with bread, it doesn't do any good to your waistline, does it? But bread is a staple. It's always called a staple of life, isn't it? And at home, we make our own bread. Well, when I say we make our own bread, I mean Sue makes the bread, but then Sue makes it in a bread maker, so that's our thing. And often we would persecute our home group members with making bread on a Wednesday or a Thursday, as it used to be, and have it just ready for when home group finishes. So when the door of the lounge opens, the waft of the smell comes from the kitchen, and everyone says, "Oh, that smells good, doesn't it?" It's nothing quite like freshly baked bread, is there? But Jesus isn't talking about freshly baked home bread. He's not talking about that wonderful stuff that we eat every day. Jesus likes to shock his hearers, to alter their perceptions and give them a fresh understanding of God's plan. In verse 32, just before the passage we heard, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." Now, to downgrade one of the Jewish patriarchs was unheard of, and in some circumstances would have led him to being stoned. And this passage has the second shock. He says, "I am the bread of life." He says, pressing the button, and nothing happens. There we are. That's not the right one. There we are. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry." He announces that he was the bread the Father had given. This wasn't anything to do with flour and flour. Bread fills our stomachs, but Jesus was claiming to be the only permanent satisfaction for the human desire for life. The attainment of this satisfaction hinges on belief. This is the first of our sermon series on the I am statements. And there are seven I am statements, which we'll be looking at some of them over the next few weeks. But these are all fundamental about God's relationship with us and our relationship with God through Jesus. And these are really, really important things. The I am is central to our beliefs. Now, we've just sung that song, Good, Good Father, and the chorus goes, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's not who I am, it's who I am, the great I am. And it's a wonderful song, just sort of speaks so much into life as we are and what God has to give. But the crux of this passage is that our relationship with God matters more than having full stomachs. As the bread of life, Jesus nourishes us, and upon him we can rely for everlasting life. Now, as I said, this is the beginning of this I Am series, and we're looking at I Am, the bread of life. He wanted people to understand that food was important. He gave food to the 5,000 and the 3,000, and he broke bread and with his disciples. But it wasn't about that feeding of stomachs. It was about what Jesus had to be, actually what he had to be to them. It was talking about eternal life. But this was beyond their comprehension. Just as the miracles Jesus had performed in their sight did not lead many people to believe. John's reference to the Jews usually represents those who are opposed to Jesus, especially those in leadership positions. Doesn't always apply to the whole of the Jewish people. In this instance, they're probably local people, for they show some knowledge of Jesus' family. They took for granted that he was the son of Joseph and Mary, both well known to them. To them, his claim of heavenly origin was unbelievable. Jesus rebuked them for their grumbling, and he told them that they would never come to him unless the Father initiated the action. He again spoke of the promise of resurrection for those who belong to him. In verse 45, he indicates that God will do his drawing through the scriptures, and that those who are obedient to God's will, as revealed in the scriptures, will come to Jesus. Let's have a look at a couple of more of those verses. In verse 46, he says, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father." Jesus' statement here is the foundation for his claimed authoritative knowledge of God, such as a son can claim concerning his own father. In verse 47, he says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life." As emphatically as he can, Jesus states that anyone who believes in him has everlasting life. The particular Greek construction used here indicates that this belief means that the person's entire life, so the person's entire life, is characterized by belief in Jesus. Now, isn't that a challenge? Is our life entirely based on our belief in Jesus? In the next couple of verses, Jesus again says, "I am the bread of life." Previously, he linked this statement with the supplying of basic human needs. This time, he links the statement to life itself. When the Jews ate the heavenly bread, the manna, in the desert, their physical needs were met. However, they eventually died. But Jesus said that he is the bread that came down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You'll recognize some of the wording there from our communion service, which we will share later. Jesus, the bread of life, which we celebrate in communion. The key to a genuine experience with God lies in the sequence of statements in this verse. It is in the person of Christ who descended from heaven to provide for humans what their nature requires. To eat of this bread means to take Christ as one's life. It is a figure of speech for believing, for no one will eat what he or she cannot trust as edible. Eating a meal implies that it is wholesome, nourishing, and real. This verse also introduces the concept of Jesus' vicarious death, the sacrifice of his body for the sins of the world. The issue of our relationship with God through Jesus is not necessarily easy to understand. God offers us a choice as to whether to go his way or not. On one hand, we must first be drawn by the Father, and secondly, we must learn from the Father, accept Jesus as our nourishment, and so accept eternal life. This message is a far cry from the Old Testament rules and regulations, and Jesus was definitely breaking the mold of Jewish thoughts as he was preaching this message. Our salvation is about a relationship with God, not ticking boxes of do's and don'ts. I believe these words of Jesus should be viewed in the context of the book of James, chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And then again in James 2, verse 18. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Our close relationship with God feeds us through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ to live out our faith through our actions, equipped by him. So back to the crux of this passage. Our relationship with God matters more than having full stomachs. As the bread of life, Jesus nourishes us, and upon him we can rely for everlasting life. So whether we are a baguette, or a pan, or a bowl, or for the Anglophiles, a crusty loaf, a bloomer, or a cob, we are all part of his work in progress. So why don't we let go of our hang-ups, our worries and our concerns, and allow God to draw us to himself? Then let our relationship with him blossom and our life be transformed and receive everlasting life. A closer relationship with the living God will enable us to better serve him as well. I know there have been a lot of appeals for volunteers to help in various areas of our church life. But that is what being a Christian is all about. With that deeper relationship with God, there is a desire to serve him. Being a Christian, as I've said before, is not a spectator sport. And there are so many ways to do it, not just by volunteering in the young church. Even a dedicated prayer life is work for God. perhaps even more important than helping with young church. As we share the load, sharing God's love and seeing the fruit of our labour empowered by God's Holy Spirit, we can only be encouraged and grow closer to Him. So at the beginning of this Lent, I repeat, let us cast off our inhibitions, take the time and space to feed from Jesus through His Word, in the Bible, and by prayer, and be drawn closer to Him. The rewards will be spectacular. So enjoy your toast, your sandwich, your baguette, or whatever, and see it as a visual aid this Lent for your love for God, the challenge to walk with Him, and to be one of His children. Amen. So let's pray. Lord God, you know us intimately. Draw us to you. Break down the barriers that we put up between you and us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and equip us to serve you. And may you and your Spirit shine out of us to others we know and meet, that they may be drawn to you as well and be overwhelmed by your love. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.